from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Podworld. I'm getting used to this place now. Nearly. Well, not quite. Still moaning. This is Postcard from Pop Bread with Lee Banks, Rachel Branston and me, Eric Wiltshire, trying to keep you entertained on, as the young lady says, all those platforms of Windows and stuff.
I know.
Very weird, the Windows. Anyway, this is nuts. The North Korean officials have visited a hair salon.
In London?
In London, even. This is in London. It's not London-centric, boys and girls. This is a London hair salon. And North Korean officials have visited this salon because they've done a bit of a satirical ad campaign with Kim Jong-un's picture in a poster suggesting you should get your hair cut because you're having a bad hair day. Now we all see the humour of that, don't we?
We do.
And the truth. We see the truth of it as well. It's an appalling haircut. It's like flock of seagulls with the big droop.
Yeah. It's like two bobs. It's just like the flock on top of his head. It's lovely.
Is it?
It's really not.
I would say that it's stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's stupid. And what's
even... there or what happened?
Well, both, because A, his haircut's a bit bonkers, and then for the North Korean people in the embassy to go running across to this barber shop to complain about this, you know, funny advert is just barking mad. And not only that, it's taken up time of the police when they could be doing proper things.
I've got a thought on this story, actually. I've just got a thought on it, which I must share, because there's a point I've just seen in it, which I didn't notice before. What? Now, we have to say that this hair salon, which actually should be taken to task by some sweet manufacturers, as it's called, M&M's, it's actually 10 minutes from the North Korean embassy. So I suppose, in a way, at times, you have to be careful of whose doorstep you're actually bluesing on.
Right.
Well, let's put it this way. Somebody...
I would agree with you if you were in Korea, North Korea, but don't forget, when the North Koreans are in England, apart from the embassy, obviously, that belongs to North Korea and is legislated under North Korean law. That's the way embassies work. But outside, as soon as they step on the pavement, they're under England.
Yeah. No, I agree. But what I was going to say, and I think this is one for Eric, right? It's for your opinion on this. Like, we all love the chairman, right?
Yes.
We love... He is a glorious man. He's very funny, very clever, and very witty. Now, just say somebody had taken his image in Poprad, in a shop in Poprad, and made it into a joke. And he didn't like it. Would you just ignore it and let it continue?
If it was comedic, he would, yes.
Yeah, but do you think, you know, if it was...
would.
Yes, all right, we've agreed.
Yeah.
North Koreans have no sense of humour, and Kim Jong-un should have just had a laugh about it.
Yes, but he probably didn't even know about it, to be honest.
No.
Because they wouldn't dare tell him.
And do you know what? The policy that he's dictated lately in North Korea, I think he would be encouraging everybody to get a haircut just like his.
Yes.
And because he's making them do it in North Korea.
Exactly.
And it could hang people by it as well, yeah.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
He spends all his time eating M&M's on other sweets.
Now, this is a funny story next, but it has a serious side to it because I can't believe people don't know what you should be doing with a freezer. But there again, I was brought up with a father that had retail outlets and we had dozens of fridge freezers, and it was, as a young lad, it was my job to do what I'm about to tell you when Lee's told the story. But anyway, this gentleman called Ian Lewis were a bit confused because all of a sudden their electricity bill started to climb up. Stupid people. We've got so many stupid people this week. But I can't do this. It's so stupid.
That's, ladies and gentlemen, I know what he's doing. He's fumbling now because he's not read the story. He's not quite sure what's going on.
I have!
And he's passing it over to me because I've not read it either.
No!
I've read it. I know what's going on.
The fact is, it's stupid.
But it is stupid. Basically, what they've had a smart meter which shows how much money it actually costs to run a freezer. I didn't realise it was that much. 60 or 70p a day to just run a freezer. Multiply that by all the things you've got in your house.
Lee, wait one. We are a consumer programme. Give the ladies and gentlemen a couple of tips.
And
number one, and the boys and girls.
Eat yellow snow.
Well, that's true. number one, if you've got an empty compartment in your freezer, go and buy some bread, something like that that's really cheap, shove it in the holes and fill the freezer up. Never run a freezer half empty because it costs you a lot of money. Number two, defrost your freezer. Because when it frosts up and it gets thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker, it costs you more money to run it.
Because it has to keep refreezing that load of ice, doesn't it?
Correct, Amanda.
It's like refreezing Antarctica on a daily basis or an hourly basis.
And the other thing
Do not buy a self defrosting freezer.
They don't work.
From the man that Lee tried to build your vacuum cleaner.
I wonder what I'd have to give him for one of them.
God knows.
I know. Probably your firstborn male child.
And the other thing is, don't be tempted to leave a deep freeze outside if you live in a cold country where it freezes, because that can mess them up completely.
And don't, if you've got a Coca-Cola fridge and you want to keep it on your veranda like you're an American, don't do that either, ladies and gentlemen.
Correct.
Because it's hot and the freezer has to work even harder.
Yes.
But do you know, and this is a true fact, that there are certain makes of freezer in Britain, and I'm only not naming them because I can't remember what the name is, that actually switch themselves off if it gets too cold.
Yep.
That's ludicrous. If you keep it in your garage and the garage gets really cold, the freezer switches itself off and all your food melts.
Lunacy reigns supreme. Anyway, this bloke's had a smart meter put in, and all of a sudden he's worked out that his fridge freezer's costing him money to run.
60 or 70p a day, and that is a frightening amount of money. I'll tell you, this is a true story, that my electricity bill during the winter is around about £130 a month, whatever that is divided by 40, so it's a lot of dosh. Mm. That's 30 to 40 pounds. Really? Why do you think? Really?
Our last bill for the quarter for 3 months, or actually it was only 3 months, was $1,200.
That's about 800 quid. It's about the same. No, it's dearer, isn't it? Yeah,
but it's dearer. Yeah. Yeah.
Why? What do you run? Is that because of air conditioning?
It might be, although we don't run all the air conditioning all the time. We don't run it during the day when we're out of the house. We run it a little bit at night time. Mostly we rely on the ceiling fans. And as you know, 90% of the time there is no electricity in Darwin. But I think it's also the gigantic plasmas take up a lot of juice.
Really? So we don't use, is that right?
Yeah, they take up heaps. So we don't use a lot.
How many have you got?
We've got one of those really big ones. I don't know how many inches. I'm not very spatial, but it's a really big one. And the next
Rob's
next
a lucky
size
boy
down,
then.
Yeah. The next size down we have in the bedroom, but we don't wash that a lot of the time either because we're usually asleep.
Yeah.
So, but I think it might be the air conditioning. And we've got two fridges because we have to. And yeah, it's very expensive. But in Australia, Darwin is the most expensive place for everything: fuel, rent, electricity, food, you name it. It's the most expensive place to live.
Yeah, well, look, I don't. It doesn't make me feel better, but I understand. I'm surprised that the electricity bill over in there is costing you that much. That's it, because I thought mine was a.
Well, anyway, we're going to move on, boys and girls. But the top tip is, don't let your freezer get empty. Do defrost it properly. And I just thought everybody knew that. Perhaps it's me.
I knew that. Even I, as Mr. Impractical, knew that you shouldn't really do that because you just refreeze in ice.
Exactly. There you go. Anyway, I love this story.
Oh, it's terrible.
This is wonderful. You know this bloke who scribbles on walls? He's called Banksy.
He doesn't scribble.
He doesn't scribble, no, you cheeky monkey.
He spray paints then.
He's an, look, Lee, we're dealing with Eric.
A philistine
he's a troglodyte.
Monkey.
Yeah, exactly.
A troglodyte, that's it. Get under your bridge.
There was a good song about that in the 60s.
The trogs.
No, not the trogs, troglodytes. So anyway.
What was that song?
Oh, I've forgotten the actual words to it now.
He's just making it up.
Come a few bars.
Yeah, hold on.
No, come to me in a minute. Anyway, a piece of Banksy, they say artwork, showing a couple embracing whilst checking their mobile phones, was crowbarred off by a group of local people in a local club.
Yeah.
Because they didn't like it.
But it was a picture of a man and a woman kissing. Why not? Are they all gay at the Broad Plains Boys Club?
No, it's they just didn't want it on their building.
It was a romantic picture of a man and woman having connubiality, or the prelude to connubiality.
It wasn't just a slogan in troglodyte. It wasn't just a slogan with a depiction of a part of an anatomy, so therefore it didn't count as art in that part of the world, and therefore must be crowbarred off the wall. Yeah. Yes, perfect logic.
Yes. Well, actually, I would say thank you to those that crowbarred it off the wall, because then nobody else has got to see it. And that's a wonderful idea.
I have a public announcement to make here.
Go on.
And I want to direct it to Banksy. And this is a serious thing, serious offer. Sorry, I've just eaten me headphones. This is a serious
in the name of art.
Yeah. on the wall of my house, Banksy, listen, because I'm a Banksy too. I'm probably a bit of a prettier Banksy, but not really in the art. Anyway, so on the front of my house, right, I took the front door out of my house and we boarded it up, right? So it's like you can see where the door was and there's a bit of a recess, but it's boarded up and it's painted. It looks lovely. I invite you, Banksy, to come and do your artwork on that front door of my house. That's a legitimate offer to you. And Broad Plains Boys Club, stay away from the village of the damned. Banksy's coming here.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you for that story, Lee. I've just managed to fix my mouse mat while you were waffling.
And you know what? You can't. I'd love for Banksy to do my front door, but I'm in a rental, so I'd really appreciate
it.
I'd really rather he wait till I get back to my own abode. That'd
all right.
Be great. Thanks, Banksy. We love your work.
Yeah, right. Anyway, the world's oldest message in a bottle seems to have arrived home after 101 years. The message was tossed into the sea in Germany 101 years ago, and some guy up in the Baltics has actually found the darn thing. It was a bit pointless now, isn't it?
Well, it is.
The Royal Mail, they're terrible.
So it's not just the English Royal Mail, then it's yours as well.
Yeah, ours is called Australia Post, but I call it Australia Lost.
Yes.
I thought it was kangaroos for that. I thought that those pouches were where they kept the letters and they just bounced.
That is actually a big idea. A lot of people believe that to be true. They think that kangaroos deliver the mail. But do you know, inside the kangaroo pouch is a lot of mucus, so you don't want your letters in there.
Be all sticky.
Mucus, like...
Yeah.
Mucus. Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Like,
what?
Yeah. Not what? Nice.
Slimy goo.
Anyway, the bottle's been found. Don't care. It's 100 years old. Whatever was in there is rubbish now anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, not the boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, if you are of a nervous disposition or you've got inquisitive teenagers, time to listen away for a few seconds. As we cover the next story, you can cover their ears, send them out of the room, get them to make a cup of tea, whatever you like, because then you won't have to answer the questions.
But if I give them a clue to what it is without telling them?
Well, they've gone now, so it's all right.
All right, codpiece. Just think codpiece before you listen to this.
Yes. A Norwegian man has found an adult toy in a cod's stomach. I say that so carefully on purpose. The gentleman was gutting a large cod that he caught. He caught it himself when he felt a lump in his belly.
Well, it'd just be like a fish on a kebab stick, wouldn't it?
Well... Then he pulled out what is described, ladies and gentlemen, as a hefty orange vibrator.
You said vibrator.
I did. I've just said that.
Now you could have said dildo.
Lee. Now what? Every kid's going to ask, teenage kid's going to ask their parents what one of those is. They're all going to get
that out of the room.
All right.
It's on the naughty step then.
All right. Yes.
No teenage kid's going to ask that. And you know what?
That's true, Rachel.
This is bunk, this story, because.
I'm trying. This is going to have to be a very, very, very tiny little machine, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
machine.
It depends on the size of your cod piece, but
if I've been a really big fish,
not that big. Oh no, cod do get big, don't they?
I caught a fish and it was this big, and he had that apparatus with him. He had to figure out a way to get rid of it and come up with a semi plausible explanation. So, oh my goodness, I chopped open this fish and here it was. Do you believe it, Marge? Do you believe it? Do you?
No.
Nah.
I think the fish was just for a second has decided to swim on its back backwards and it just had a terrible accident.
Right. I think we'll leave the story there then. A wife has ordered her husband to sell a 65 feet tall dragon living in the back garden. I think Steve Fletcher's a star.
I do. And I tell you what, another public announcement, and I'm sending this message out to Steve Fletcher now. If he wants to get rid of his 65 foot dragon, I'll buy it off him.
There you go.
Yeah, and then Banksy will paint it.
Yeah, that's coming. Paint it, and it's going to be called Puff the Magic Dragon.
Right.
And it's going to live by the sea.
But you don't live near the sea.
No, but I live in a place called Honolulu.
Ha, ha, ha. That was nearly funny. Steve Fletcher's bought this thing, stuck it in his garden. It's all to do with Game of Thrones. And he's obviously a big gamer, so he's got this thing, and his missus wants to put vegetables there. Well, how stupid. You can get them down. Steve, tell her to go down the shop and buy them.
Yeah, exactly. And if you want to put vegetables there, dragons are not that intelligent.
They won't eat them. They might cook them for you.
It'd be like a big pink vegetable.
Right.
You could barbecue your vegetables for you out of its nose, where dragons don't have mucus.
Well, Lee, I'm not going to read it out, but I just had a vague feeling Lee was going to like this story. So I've given you Steve's email at the bottom.
You have? I know, I've just noticed that.
Don't read it out.
I am genuinely going to write to him and tell him that I have a 6-foot stuffed shark in my lounge. I've got stuffed birds all over the house. I have a flight of geese across my ceiling.
Yeah.
And I will genuinely, as long as he's not talking stupid money,
right.
I'll buy his 65-foot fiberglass dragon.
There you go, you see. So email him quick, tell us how it goes on. Some guys... I don't believe this. I do. The son of a resident is suing a nursing centre in Long Island in America, claiming that his highly religious mother was violated by the striptease performance that took place in this old folks' home. Why is he suing? I have no idea.
Have you seen the photos from this particular expert? Yeah. They are all those lovely oldies are having the best time they've ever had in years.
Yes.
And they're having a great time. And you know what? The strippers were actually really respectful.
I know.
So this zealot who is suing is just, you know, but you know what it's like. They're a litigious folk.
Do you know what
we're
he is, Rachel?
Nation. They're a litigious nation.
Do you know what he is?
Whoa.
Stupid. Stupid.
I think he's jealous.
Well, but he says, and this is just America for you, isn't it? That he's bringing the suit, alleging it was a vile performance and was actually staged for the perverse pleasure and enjoyment of the staff. Well, I think all the little old ladies are probably having a little bit of a perv as well.
I'll tell you what, they're more than the youngsters half the time, that's for sure.
Why are we so worried about a naked human body? Everything we do, we worry about seeing naked human bodies. We've all got one, you know, ladies and gentlemen.
We were born with it.
Yeah, exactly. And every now and again, you'll see yourself naked unless you're the Pope.
Rach?
Yeah. Well,
have you seen yourself naked?
Many times.
I mean, you like it.
All over
Rach!
Yes.
I found a new job for you.
What is it?
There's two geezers in Australia who've got billions of dollars. 5.3 billion, to be precise.
Oh, well, I'll get my groom thing.
Yes.
They'll give you one if you let them see you naked.
What, a billion?
A billion. Of course I meant a billion. What did you think I meant?
Well, I don't know.
I'll go get my groove thing on, and I'll see you a bit later, fellas.
Well, this is an amazing story, considering they're up against Mr. Microsoft, Mr. Oracle,
yes,
and all these huge companies, and these two guys on their own set this thing up. And what it is it's kind of like, to explain it simply, it's business software, like diaries online, communications online, technical people talking online. It's the professional version of Facebook or something like that. But it is within different company structures. So it's all, you know, sort of very bona fide type stuff. And they've grown this business out of a backyard over 12 years from nothing to something worth $3.3 billion.
I think anybody whose last name is Farquhar, and the other fella who's got one of those lovely hyphenated names,
Cannon Brooks,
I think they deserve a lap dance for sure.
Absolutely.
They're only young fellas.
34 years old.
They're very young. And do you know what I told Beth? I said to Beth, never mind these boys and that boys and all the boys you like in school. I said, always hang around with the smart boys because they're the ones that turn into Bill Gates. They're the ones that turn into Steve Jobs. These are the ones that turn into Scott Farquhar.
Oh, indeed.
And Mike Cannon-Brooks.
Right, moving on. I love this next story because it just will make everybody cry with laughter. We have Microsoft, a global company with all the security experts in the world. And a five-year-old has been praised, I don't think so, by Microsoft, maybe they did, after he found a flaw in the Xbox security system. Mm-hmm. And this young kid, 5 years old from San Diego, used a bit of logic. When it didn't work, he just pressed the space bar a few times. And hey presto, he hacked his way in to the Xbox on his dad's account.
Right.
And this is one of the oldest tricks in the book. And all of a sudden, he's working the Xbox without the password. So the daddy, who is a computer geek anyway, said he was very proud of his son. He's recorded a video of what he'd done. And then after he'd recorded it, he then told Microsoft. And I'm thinking, yes, five-year-old kid hacks Microsoft. That has got to be lovely.
Only a five-year-old kid could do it. I love how he said when he saw his name online, he said, I'm going to be famous. Sure are, little dude.
Have you noticed what his name is, though?
What?
Oh,
Von Hassel.
Double-barreled name. Hassel.
Von Hassel.
Another double-barrel name.
Yeah, that's
really
cool.
Yeah. I don't know if whether that name's made up, but it's a good name for somebody who's hassling at Microsoft, isn't it?
Well, it rather is.
Yes.
Crazy story. We've got a couple of minutes to go. According to the British government, you can't die now. You can't die. No. You can't die yet. We said you've got 6 more months to live. Do as you're told. You can't die yet.
Unbelievable.
And this is what's happening in the UK. Apparently the government are going to contact people approaching retirement who will be given an estimate of how long they might live.
I know, but do we know why this is?
So you don't become a burden to the state.
But why would we become a burden to the state?
I don't know.
I can explain. You know,
go on.
Please do.
The simple fact is, a few weeks ago,
yes,
the government decided that we were allowed to administer, or whatever that word is, our own pension funds in any way we wish to.
Put this into plain English. You're telling me the British government said you can look after your own money?
Yes, they said, You can do what you want with your pension fund. You can actually go buy a car if you want, or buy a house abroad, or do what you want, which was a brilliant thing, because I've got pension funds that I can't touch. There's not enough in them to actually give me a pension, but they won't let me have it. Now, I can have it's only a few £1,000, but I can have it. The downside to this is...
They're going to tell you when you die.
No, the reason they're going to tell you when you die, when you're liable to die, is because they've realised that everybody's going to take their pension fund money and go and buy cars or boats or whatever they want, or have a holiday,
right.
And they're not going to have enough money left in the pension funds to see them through to the dotage. So now they've had to come up with a plan to tell people, look, you've got that much money, but you might live for that long. That means you've only got £3 a week left to live on. So they are now going to become burdens on the state, and the government's panicking.
This week in Australia, Mr. Abbott and his crony Joe Hockey, the treasurer, have told us that they are raising the retirement age to 70. Yeah,
that's right.
No.
Yeah.
And I said, really? Why would you do that? Because it's going to be a burden on the resources of this country, la 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 la. And I thought, well, that's a little bit unfair. Usually it's 65 and everybody's preparing for that and everybody's got their super organised, you know, according to that. But no, we're now being told that it's going to be 70. But what they are going to do is they are going to reduce the pension. So
what?
But they're following in Britain, like the wonderful Andrea, who my erstwhile partner and wife, actually has to work now until she's 68 in Britain. It's the same thing, and it's done in the same way. What is really funny about that is she's never worked in her life.
It's crazy, isn't it?
She has.
Well, she looks after you.
She looks after you. Every 1 year is a decade.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
It's sort of like, doggies.
And I've got... We've just got time to squeeze this.
After 68?
We've just got time to squeeze this one in. Apparently, the UK will be full of millionaires soon. Not. It's
where
because
are they coming from?
You see, the average earnings, this is wonderful news, the average earnings increased by 1.7% in the year to February, but the inflation rate was only up 1.6%. So you've got 0.1% growth in your pocket. That'll buy you
a board lolly.
A box of matches?
Well, work it out. It's easy to work out, isn't it? 1% of 26 grand, which is the average wage in Britain.
Yeah.
1% of it is 260 quid. 0.8% of that is 26 quid. So it's 50p a week. Better off we'll be.
I was right.
Exactly.
You can buy a box of matches. Wonderful. On that happy note, we have to say goodbye, boys and girls. Time for you to say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Time for you to say goodbye, Lee.
Bye-bye, everybody. I love you.
And I'll see you again soon. I think it's going to be the other team next week as Petra's back. See you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I-O.